I think they're going to have to come back to us and safe track 45. When the actual group was reported to us, we had communication.
We were in that other room where
I knew somebody. Gino Drury, I don't know if he writes in the Gazette. He used to come to our BPAC.
And
he said he followed that the whole time. And he could see that they were just ignoring the
band.
They were all concerned about a screen. That's where all the money went.
Right. Capital name is kind of a subject to get money for.
What are you here for?
I work here now.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Sorry. It's a little union.
Yeah, so it looks like old home weekend.
Small world, I don't see.
How are you, Alan?
Good.
Yeah, Chris and I worked together years ago, too, at DDoT. We worked there at the same time. 2008, 9, 10 time frame. So. It is a small one. Chris Seaman. He's a new division chief for planning. Sorry, I'm crowding
you. You're fine. Don't worry.
I'll bring it tomorrow night.
So where are you living?
That'll go well.
I should have brought it just in case.
It's really nice. I don't have to get a new helmet or something.
Are things over at NTSB?
Amen. Well, our chairman's term expired at close of business this evening, so acting chairman by statute becomes the vice chairman by statute becomes the acting chairman. But that term expires at the end of this month, the 31st. So
okay.
The White House takes action.
It's not as bad as it was this morning.
Legally, so I'm convinced there's something. There's a mechanism by which they could appoint someone on an acting basis.
Right. I was wondering if that was political or not, if the appointees there were political.
The person I reported to
was
on to a different
board. That way you don't have to deal with the house.
I'm Chris Eamon. I'm Jake Jack.
Nice to meet you. I'm the new Board of Transportation Planning Division Chief.
Are you replacing Steve Sindia?
Well, there's no replacement.
I'll replace him.
Training his shoes.
Nice to meet you. Did he leave any shoes?
Free from the...
Yeah. Are there any Allen Edmonds in there somewhere?
Just some dirty socks.
So do they have, like, Senate approval?
There are Senate.
2.5 weeks ago.
So he's up to speed.
Are they running the meeting tonight? But actually, from now on, I will.
A year or two?
So I was working, actually, in Germany before this, and then Chicago before that, and then D.C. before that.
So that's... How are you, Melissa?
I was there in a fellowship program. I don't know if you know the Robert Bosch Foundation. Bosch, like the dishwasher. washers of the emission software company for Volkswagen. But they they have a foundation to improve transatlantic relations for 15 Americans over every year in all different fields, so like education and law and finance. And, we have two work placements when we're there over the course of the year. So I was working with transit agencies in Hamburg, Germany, which is very, very interesting. Very interesting to see the difference.
So far, they haven't done anything with our budget.
Well, there's a lot, but there's also funny to see similarities. I think one of the big differences is the problems they face. So a lot of their problems have to do with overcrowding of buses.
So they think the budget's more important.
Oh, absolutely.
Tomorrow's another opportunity to shine.
I took the bus last weekend to Target. So.
If I wake up, it's a good start.
So how do you know Melissa?
Where'd you
run into her? You knew her.
Oh, we knew each other from grad school, actually.
Oh, yeah, that's going way back.
Way back.
10 years ago.
At least.
Trying not to think about it, okay?
Yeah, I was a different person. One of the big issues was Hamburg has the highest ridership bus route in Europe, but partly it should probably be a subway line that they haven't built yet, and they were doing a lot of like bus rapid transit style improvements to reduce congestion, but they found congestion to be the same. Because now that it's faster and more reliable, people stay on it longer. It's the same number of passengers. They just stay on the bus for long. They don't transfer to the subway like they used to. So that's an unexpected consequence. Which I guess is good. I mean, better service.
So they want the one-seat ride.
They'd probably rather have that.
People aren't that different anyway, right?
It's cold and rains a lot there.
Okay, I'll call the meeting to order. This is the Transportation Commission meeting for March 15th, 2017. First item on the agenda are the minutes. I sent in some minor changes, and Stephen sent in one. Anybody else have any changes to the minutes? Motion to accept the minutes, please.
Motion to approve the minutes as modified.
Second?
Second.
Okay. All in favor of approving the minutes?
Aye.
All right. Minutes approved. Okay. Updates to receive consent items. And before we get into those, in the past, sometimes we spent a lot of time on these. The consent items aren't action items, basically. They're items to get everybody on all the commissioners up to date on various projects. So what I'd like to do is spend less time on those and spend more time on the action items. Again, we get these on Friday, so they're maybe a week old. So most likely not much has changed. If you have any particular questions, that's fine, but sometimes we get sidetracked and spend probably more time than we need to on these. So the idea is to do your homework, read them. If you got a question, you always send an email, or you could bring it up in the meeting. So any questions on how we handle those before we get into them?
Mr. Chairman, if we find a need to have this type of information developed further so that we can maybe move on to other more important topics to discuss, I'd appreciate if the group could share that with the professional staff. I think a very successful outcome that we had in the dashboard and how we operated there was Jan, when he would report out on as far as the director's report, that you would normally take anywhere between 10 and 15 minutes. He has prepared a written report that he submitted in advance, and that actually has reduced the amount of time that we spend at the dashboard, allowing us to get involved with some other discussion or end on time or possibly early. So with the depth of information Jan's been providing, I think that's been very helpful. So I think if a similar approach could be used here, we might be able to better use our time as you suggested. But if there's a need to expand on what staff is delivering, I think that might be helpful for staff to find that out so they can provide us with the level of detail necessary by the commissioners.
Yeah, we can ask for them to, you know, one, you can submit your questions by email, mm-hmm. or, you know, even call them up if you have a real pressing need there. But, it delays us getting to the meat of why we're here, is to cover the action items thoroughly so we can make, you know, an informed decision there. So now that we're covering the updates, does everybody's probably done want to ask any questions? But if there are any, bring them up.
I had a question. Has WMATA given us any information as to how progress is going on SafeTrack right now? Do we have any information from them?
On this surge, things are moving along with schedule. We had a call earlier this week on Tuesday. Things might get delayed a little bit because of the weather. I know they had to shift some of the folks that are assigned to SafeTrack surge work over to snow removal to make sure they can keep the rail system up and running. I did ask about that on the call on Tuesday to find out what their response is. Basically, the intention is not to extend SafeTrack. They're really, really making sure that they fit within the dates that they've established for the public so far. Any work that they're not able to accomplish, like because of the weather delay, for example, they'll roll it forward into another surge, but into their regular maintenance schedule, whether it's on the weekend when they do single tracking, some of the other regularly scheduled maintenance programs, they'll roll it forward.
Thank you.
Any other questions on the consent items? Okay. Commission updates. I'll just kind of go around to see if anybody has any updates for what they're responsible for.
So the Potomac Yard, North Potomac Yard Update Advisory Group held a meeting on February 28th, and they presented a draft transportation chapter. And they're going to present to the Transportation Commission the findings of the transportation analysis and draft recommendations in May.
May?
So in addition to transportation and the open space, that was what was presented last week.
Okay. Anybody else down?
Jake? Landmark. The Eisenhower West Landmark Van Dorn group was supposed to meet next Thursday. However, the meeting has been rescheduled due to some conflict that's arisen, so we're still waiting for our next one to be confirmed.
Okay. Any questions?
Steve? Yes. Month of February was Josh Baker's first full month as our new general manager at DASH, and that transition is working out very, very well. We also have selected a new board member, Chieko Clark. She is a full-time employee with the federal government patent and trade office, but Alexandria resident. She also has served on a board in the district, and she has a very good skill set that she could offer us. Also, Richard Lawrence will be replacing Emily Baker as one of the city's representatives to the board as well.
Okay.
It's not really an update, but just a reminder that the Parking Standards Task Force process begins next week. Our first meeting is scheduled for the 21st Tuesday evening here in this workroom, I believe. And maybe staff could remind me of the exact time.
Seven.
So
okay.
For folks who are interested in participating in that process, that'll be our kickoff.
Yeah, that's the first of many, mm-hmm. I assume. That's a process that
will
take a while. Okay, now, the fun part, the budget. Okay.
Okay, well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Before I started the budget, I wanted to introduce Christopher Zeman. He's our new transportation planning division
yes.
chief. It's his second week, so be nice to him. and also wanted to announce that Steve Cindy-Yong has taken on a new role as our transit capital program manager, working with Alan and Alan's division. He'll still be back to the commission regularly to update you on projects, but Chris will now be your liaison for the group, so happy to have Chris here. I don't know if you wanted to give a few words about your background, Chris?
Sure, yeah. So it's very nice to be back in the area. I actually started my career working for the D.C. Department of Transportation for about 4 years, working on one of the projects I'm most proud of is leading the 15th Street Bike Lane project, which was the district's first protected bike lane, which has then been proven very successful and expanded and everything. But I've worked on motor coach studies, public space studies, traffic calming, you name it. I also was the Bus Rapid Transit project manager in Chicago for several years, and then as I was telling folks, I most recently was a fellow working in transit agencies in Hamburg, Germany, so kind of studying what they do there and how they do things. So I'm very excited to be on board, very excited to be working with the commission here, and
Well, we're glad to have you. It sounds like with your background that you'll be able to give us a lot of insight on some of our problems that we're dealing with. So. Okay.
Thank you. So, if you wouldn't mind going to the next slide, Sharon. Just wanted to give the commission, before we dive into the budget, we're here before you tonight to gain guidance that we would then transmit to the City Council. So, our goal for this this agenda item is to go over the budget with you at a high level. I have provided a draft letter for you that I sent yesterday, and what would be a great outcome of this agenda would be to gain any amendments or changes that you would have to that letter so that we could then transmit that to City Council. And I can talk a little bit about the timing in a moment as to why we're bringing this before you now. But that is the goal of this session. So to kind of give you, on the next slide, you'll see the budget, overall budget process. So each year we come to you in the fall and we kind of go over the economic conditions that are in play at the city and sort of what we're anticipating to see in terms of the budget, what pressures there are going to be on the city's budget. That's around the same time that we also, the city department, submit their project request to the budget committee that's in place. And when we came to you in October, I think we'll be going over some of this tonight, but our message was simply that revenues are not coming in as they have. I mean, it's been a trend that's been happening over the last 10 years. They're, combined with that trend, we have a lot of pressures in the budget, increased costs for WMATA, increased facilities costs, and costs for the school expansion. So a combination of these factors are putting a lot of pressure on the budget. So at that time when we came to you, the commission back in October, and that there was a letter that was generated that was given to the City Council from you with guidance, and essentially your guidance, your top priority to the City Council was to make sure that we preserve the 2.2 cents transportation reservation, that the Complete Streets program is funded, and that the state of good repair with the transportation system is maintained. So those were three items that were high priority to the commission. The other item that the commission strongly encouraged the City Council to identify additional funding for its contribution to WMATA. So you'll notice tonight that actually is within the proposed budget. There's not all of the new funding that's required for WMATA is shouldered by the city's Transportation Improvement Program, also known as the TIP. So we'll be talking a little bit about that as well. But just to kind of frame the process for you, we came to you in October, you provided that guidance, which we gave to the City Council. And then November to January, a steering committee that was comprised of department heads at the city crafted recommendations to the city manager for the budget. And then lastly, through January and February, the city manager finalized the proposed CIP. So on the next slide, you can see the budget priorities, and this likely wouldn't be a surprise based on the preview that we gave you a few months ago, but as you can see, schools are requiring increased funding. As in school enrollment increases, funding is needed for that. WMATA's funding has significantly increased, and that's not something unique to Alexandria. As you know, it's all jurisdictions in the region. State of good repair is another key item of the budget priorities, and that is protecting our existing investments, both in public facilities and infrastructure. So that's applicable in, certainly to our transit assets in the city through DASH, but that's also applicable to our roadway system through street resurfacing. And then lastly, economic development. So that's, you know, these big projects that we have for transportation, such as the West End Transitway and the Potomac Yard Metro, among others. Those are really important key projects for economic development for the city. So on the next slide, you can see this proposed CIP is the difference between that and last year's. A couple of important trends. You can see from fiscal year 2017 to fiscal year 2018, there's a big drop there, and that's because in 2017, we fully funded at $270 million the Potomac Yard Metro. So that was responsible for a big portion of the budget last year. Or this, I should say, the current year that we're in today. So that's the blue line that, you know, goes from $400 million down to the $200 million in this upcoming year. You also see a change in terms of the proposed CIP, which that's the brown line. You'll see a big change in 2021, and that is for a couple of reasons. One of them being that the West End Transitway has an influx of funding that year. We also have a new high school that's proposed for that fiscal year to be built, and then significant sewer outfall spending. So the combined sewer outfall project that we have going. And lastly, the seminary at Beauregard Ellipse is all in that fiscal year. So you see that big jump as a result of that. But overall, you can see that, you know, the proposed CIP has a significant increase over last year's CIP that was approved, $328 million. So you see some big changes when we look at those 2 years. The next slide shows you WMATA, and we've been talking about that pretty frequently in these meetings. So I know that, you know, that the commission's up to speed. As Alan can attest, it continually is changing. So WMATA will not approve their budget until next week. However, we have been receiving, minor variances in numbers over the last few weeks. But what you see here is the number that was at the time that the budget came out. And the important thing to note from this, so it's a big increase over last year. This is on the capital side. It's it's 35.2 million of an increase from last year. And then of course, over every fiscal year, we see increases. We want to point out, though, that in fiscal year 2023, there's a shift where the funding for WMATA on the capital side is no longer funded out of the TIP, and that's a change from last year. That was part of the guidance that the commission gave to council back in the fall, is that we didn't want, the commission did not feel that the TIP should fund all of WMATA. So that is a change. Now, that will also require a funding source for that at that time, so that's going to have to be something that the city is going to have to allocate funding toward. So the next slide goes over the operating side in terms of transit, and this we're also seeing an increase in WMATA over $7 million from fiscal year 2017. And as I said, same on the capital. We're going to see that number change slightly as WMATA solidifies it over the next week or so. But that's the number that we have today, and that is proposed to be solely out of the general fund. So that's another example of how the TIP is not being hit for this increase. DASH is staying flat at $11.1 million in operating, so that's no change from fiscal year 2017. And the trolley has a decrease of $39,000, which is essentially attributable to changing the hours of the trolley. It typically would now pick up with this proposal at 10:30 a.m. versus 10 a.m. That is the change there. The next slide goes over the economic development aspect, and this is really important from the sort of DASH and transit capital. One thing I wanted to emphasize, in the proposed budget, there is while there is significant funding for DASH bus fleet replacement at $26 million, next fiscal year, there is a proposal to reduce the funding, only allowing the purchase of 4 buses versus 5. And something that's important for the Transportation Commission to weigh in on too, and I'm sure we'll, you know, there might be some discussion and questions after I'm done with this, but is that the purchase of the buses is increasing. We have been purchasing hybrid buses, which are quite costly and have different considerations than a clean diesel model. And so that's something that the commission might want to talk a little bit more about, because there could be some cost savings if we looked at the clean diesel, provided that we have the environmental benefits that clean diesel can provide. And then lastly, just wanted to mention the additional funding for DASH technology. So that the commission would be familiar with, it's something that we applied for through the Smart Scale grant process. The next slide goes over state of good repair. So this is the section of the budget that deals with the street resurfacing and complete streets. And you'll notice this year there's actually a summary page which ties the street resurfacing to the complete streets. Kind of gives you a picture of how those two things work together. The budget is it's completely city funded in fiscal year 2018. That's a change from last year. The state used to fund a significant portion of our resurfacing activities and has pulled back from that. So the city has now put $1.5 million toward this to make up for the shortfall that we have not received from the state revenue fund. On the next slide, you can see Potomac Yard Metro. So we wanted to make sure to include this project, even though we know the commission's well aware, and it was fully funded in the current fiscal year that we're in. This is a very significant project, $285 million project. At the time of the approval, the largest capital project that the city has ever undertaken. So we're really, this is something that is very important to both the Transportation Master Plan, but also having full funding for it is essential. And the project is moving ahead. We're expecting to have price proposals in the next, in the summertime, where we can essentially then award the contract for the design build. And then funding for that also has an operating impact, and so that is also factored into the WMATA subsidy at $2.8 million. Wanted to emphasize the West End Transitway as well. Going back to we don't need to go back to the slide where I showed you the increase, but this is a $143 million project. So it is spread out across different fiscal years, but it is a significant capital project that we're happy to see. I'm sure the Transportation Commission would be happy to see that it is funded in the budget. I would note, however, that a significant portion of this project is developer contributions, and so it is contingent upon new development coming into the city at a certain rate. And this, you know, as we see the dynamics of this area change and some of the development not coming in as we anticipated, that is going to require looking at this project in terms of a funding perspective, and will likely involve the Transportation Commission quite a bit and determining the other funding sources and how we can prioritize this project through different funding mechanisms, including state funding. So I guess we just wanted to make sure we highlighted it, kind of gave you a picture of the funding mechanism, but also noting that, you know, these are competitive sources of funds and by no means are guaranteed. The next slide kind of highlights the public safety aspect of the budget. And this is something that the commission has repeated through the guidance of the council, wanting to have significant focus on Vision Zero and funding of public safety improvements. So wanted to make sure that the commission was aware that it does propose to accelerate filling of vacancies for the police positions, specifically in the traffic units. And then adding an additional step at the top of the pay scales for those public safety positions. Within the Complete Streets program, there is $75,000 that's not additional funding from last year, but allocated for this effort. In the next slide, I wanted to make sure, I don't know if you wanted to speak a little bit to this one, Jan.
Yes. Sure. So I think just want to make sure to call to the commission's attention that at its legislative meeting last night, City Council, after quite an extensive discussion, really voted to advertise a tax rate of $1.13, which is essentially 3 cents higher than the city manager's proposed budget. He had proposed an increase of 2.7 cents per $100 of valuation. So making sure to clarify what happens with our budget process, the council has to make a decision around this time every year of the highest tax rate it will consider. And that's the action that they took last night. They did not vote to implement this last night. They essentially just decided that given what they had heard at the public hearing on Monday the 13th, and if any of you were there, I was, there were 72 speakers, almost universally, although I wouldn't say all of them, there were a few speakers who brought other items forward, but almost universally all the speakers were there to talk about facilities, primarily schools. After hearing the public speakers, after hearing some comments from the public, council voted to advertise this tax rate. What council would be proposing would be to put the additional 3 cents, or to make the additional 3 cents available over the 10-year CIP in cash capital to be able to fund city priorities during that time. The other main decision that they made last night was to appoint a blue ribbon task force, essentially to take a closer look at the relationship between the city and schools, particularly with respect to capital projects and the coordination that's occurring between the city and schools. We will also be looking at city facilities, but the primary reason they voted and they asked the manager to investigate this commission was to look a little more closely at the school's proposed CIP, which many of you may be aware that that's partially what the manager proposed to hire CIP to do, was to address the school's CIP, which is quite a bit higher than it was in prior years. So we just wanted to make sure that you were aware of the most recent actions that council had taken. This just happened last night. The other point that we did want to make is that the plan is still to continue to maintain the 2.2 cent reservation for transportation, so the TIP, so that's proposed.
Good question. How many cents was the estimate if council were to fully fund school CIP? It was thrown about somewhere.
Up to 8 cents.
Six cents.
I think it's eight, yeah.
Okay. So what they added was not enough, fully funded, but it was them acknowledging that they wanted to leave some leeway here in this decision-making process to try to put more. Thank you.
Yeah, and that was the vote was 6-1 last night, from the discussion, it was pretty clear that while council may not ultimately end up here, they wanted there to be the opportunity to have this discussion. So
we wanted to essentially end on that, but make sure that to kind of take a circle back. These are some of the topics that are likely that the commission's going to want to weigh in on and give guidance to the council. I'm sure there are others in addition to this that aren't on this list. But what would be helpful is if we could answer any questions that you may have, certainly have a discussion, and then we would look to have the commission either adopt the letter or make additions to this letter, make changes, so that we can transmit it to the City Council. Part of the reason we're on this time frame, is because, as you can see, this is the budget development date. So we're at March 15th. There is actually a work session going on right now, which explains why our two council members are not present, but they're at that work session. But we will be having a number of work sessions coming up, the add-delete session, the primary add-delete session is Tuesday, the 25th, and that's an important date, and I think that the sooner that the the commission gets their guidance to the city council, the better in terms of working toward that date. So that's part of the what works in with this timing. The other meeting that's important on the schedule is the 21st. That's the Livable Green and Prospering City work session, and that is specific to transportation. So that's just something to have on your radar screen. So with that, Sean, would you mind going back to the, thank you, the previous slide. With that, would like to hear any questions or have a discussion with the commission.
Well, I'll start with, you know, it's easy to ask for more money, but those battles pretty much have been fought. In other words, transportation is probably not going to get any more money. When you look at the big programs that are out there, you know, those decisions seem to be have been made. So it's easy to ask for additional money, but if that means somebody else has got to give it up. So probably the best way to change some of our emphasis on the funding is to reprioritize where the money's going to. You know, more emphasis on the things that we feel are more important. And that's both on the capital side and the operating side. One of the things in the letter that I drafted was the street resurfacing when, and you know, in conjunction with complete streets. I think if it's the way it's set up right now is sometimes, you know, they'll be planning to resurface a street without applying the complete street guidelines that are recommended to apply to that particular street. I think if we put those in, and the problem there is if you pave the street and you don't make the complete street changes, then you're waiting 10 years before they get made. And you know, with the Vision Zero policy on us, I think it's important that we reprioritize the funding so that the complete streets projects are done in conjunction with the paving. And that might take some of the paving money to go to complete streets, but it just doesn't make any sense to pave a street and not apply the complete streets guidelines that are in the policy there and wait 10 years. I mean, with I look at the commission's priority is the safety of the residents. And, you know, you can pave a lot of streets, but that's not going to save any lives. When you apply complete streets guidelines and the structure, you know, that supposedly will help reduce the amount of crashes and serious injuries and possibly fatalities, which we've had 4 this year. And it's things like this that if we shift the way the money we have, you know, I think that's important, and I think it's doable. So you guys can weigh in now. So did everybody get a look at the letter that was sent out?
Yep.
No, that's right.
I have comments and questions.
Okay.
I knew it. Generally, first, I just had some questions about some line items that I had seen before I get into really important stuff. The Old Cameron Run Trail for $2.8 million. What was, could you just refresh my memory as to what that is?
So that is a trail that essentially is in the Eisenhower Valley area. Between Hoops Run and the Metro Station, Eisenhower Metro Station, it runs along Old Cameron Run. Mm-hmm. And currently there's no trail there today, but there is a planned connection that's in our master plan. And so this funding would allow us to do design, and then we have additional funding in later years to do construction.
And was this on the long range master plan?
It's been in the transportation master plan for quite some time. It's not in the long range plan because it's funded.
It is.
And most of a lot of that funding was grants.
It's a combination of funding.
$6.9 million overall, of which $6.85 million is grants.
Okay. So it's
there's $100,000 in prior year TIP. Yeah.
Okay. And yeah, that's the East Glebe Road and Route 1. What was that? What is that for? It's $3.2 million.
So that's a project that was called for through the Oakville Triangle Small Area Plan. It's a number of different improvements. It's capacity based, but in terms of adding turn lanes, but it also has sidewalk and bicycle facilities,
which is important. And then Van Doren Multimodal Bridge, there was $200,000 for that, but I thought that that didn't receive any funding. So I was trying to reconcile.
No, it's a good question. That project, we did request funding through the Smart Scale program through VDOT at $20 million. We also have requirements for developers as they come in to make contributions for that project, mm-hmm. but we don't have, you're correct in that we currently don't have any construction funding. We have $200,000 to look at alignments for the bridge, which comes in next fiscal year.
Okay. And then the big one, which is Complete Streets. I noticed that funding was cut in half from the year before. Approximately, in half.
That's not true.
There was a reduction of $100,000.
I thought we had over a million last year.
So through the add delete process last year, which that later process, the council did add funding to that project for one fiscal year.
Right.
But the proposed budget was $100,000. How do I say this? The budget for that was approved in, for 17 was $100,000 more than the proposed budget today. So there was a reduction in this proposed budget of $100,000.
Sorry, can you clarify for me what the difference is between maybe the council giving more money to the program and...
They added a one-time allocation for the current year we're in,
right?
Of more funding, right. But not for the next
life
year.
Of the project.
Not for the life of the project, for the upcoming fiscal year.
Okay. So you don't think it's appropriate to compare our future goals for the program with the funding they funded it at, but rather with what was proposed last?
I think you can look
I'm just trying to get it, like, I don't know what motivated them specifically to do one time funding then.
It was because the commission
Pushed it. But that's because it's our priority to try to get that funded better. And so I guess I think we're getting it. We want to aim for the level of funding that we think is appropriate for it, rather than what was approved before the one time add-on.
So I think
part of the reason that the reduction was proposed, the $100,000 reduction was proposed this year, is because the way that we have, and if you actually look at the Complete Streets project, and on the second page of the project, you can see how it's itemized out. The reduction that the Complete Streets project took this year, that $100,000, primarily because we had set aside money in fiscal year 18 for the World Street Complete Streets project, which has been reduced in scope. And because that project was reduced in scope, we determined, and this is the manager's proposed budget, we determined that funding would not be necessary, and so the remainder of Complete Streets was funded. Now, there, as we just sort of clarified or tried to explain to you in the in our presentation, there are a number of competing interests for city for general fund money, and the Complete Streets project was not the only project that actually took a reduction in this year's CIP. We mentioned DASH, we mentioned there have been some other projects, there's a number of other projects that have taken reductions. When you look at what the manager's priorities were, particularly with respect to state of good repair, that's why some of those maintenance projects and those sort of projects citywide received or were either closer to fully funded or fully funded. Second, the other thing I just want to make sure that we share with you is that there were some handouts that we provided, we just wanted to make sure that to remind the commission that we have a performance report that we prepare that, and that's this document here, that we have prepared to indicate our success or our relative success on certain areas that we all, citywide, meaning you all have had input on this as well, what our sort of highlighted goals are. So we use this document when the manager prepared the budget. We also use the city strategic plan. So you can, and you in the strategic plan, page 19, shows you some of the key indicators that we're trying to achieve by 2022 for multimodal transportation, shows you some of the action items and some of the major targets in the budget. And again, these are the documents when we're having to make the difficult decision of trying to fund as many products as we can with a limited amount of funding that we're using to drive the priorities that we're setting. So that's why the Complete Streets project.
May I add, though, not only is there a decrease, I mean, we had this, there was a one-time bump last year, so for this current year, correct?
Yeah. It's fiscal year 7.
So not only, though, next year is it 100,000 decrease, you know, there was money pulled out of Complete Streets this year for the Vision Zero implementation, which decreases current funding for Complete Streets. And then, if I caught you correctly, Carrie, you said that there's going to be within the Complete Street budget next year, 75,000 of that is for Vision Zero next year, which is reducing the amount of Complete Streets money. And then on top of it, and this is the only project that I know of where salaries are capitalized. So not only, I mean, we all say, oh, no, okay. Well, this is the one I know of. So not only is this 730 decreased off the top, then you have Vision Zero money coming out, and then you have salary money coming out. So, I mean, it's just that pot of money for implementation of Complete Street projects, which is what benefits the peon resident like me, is that much smaller. So that, I mean, it's just, and I understand the demanding challenges facing the city, but you know, we're talking millions and millions and millions, and then here's something that helps my kids who are afraid to even ride their bike down Seminary Road. We're in a landlocked development between Seminary and Quaker Lane, and you know, how do my kids get out of their darn development? You know, I mean, so as a citizen representative from the West End, you know, which ties into, you know, upcoming projects for Safe Streets for ACPS students, it seems to me it's just hard to swallow seeing the Complete Streets reduced, and then hidden within there is a capitalized salary plus the Vision Zero money, which we all also support. But when we were doing Vision Zero originally, it wasn't contemplated, at least I wasn't contemplating, that it was sucked out of Complete Streets. It was that it would be on top of Complete Streets, not subsumed within it. But then my other comment is, and you know, as a corollary of the city of Alexandria being a place that young people want to come. I'm heading over the other side, but we market the city of Alexandria as a place where young, single professionals want to live and work. Well, you know, what I hear, kids nowadays, they want a bike, they want alternative modes of transportation. They're not tied to their cars. They want to use the metro, they want to use buses, they want to use bikes. They want alternative modes of transportation. The capital share is very well funded, I think, in Old Town on the East End, but the West End, really, the only one I really know of is, at least in my area, is right by Farlington. You know, and so what I'm trying to say is capital bike share I see has 699 for this year, which I hope will fund West End spots. But I mean, if we're going to be playing with monies, can you take a little bit from capital bike share and put it in Complete Streets? I'm just wondering where that came, where the interchange where the interplay came in.
The big difference between the, I guess the, one of the big distinguishing factors for both Complete Streets program as well as DASH is those are funded, those programs are funded out of the general fund. They're not funded through grants. Whereas Capital Bike Share is completely funded with exception to the operations.
Okay, so
from so the $699 is a grant.
You wouldn't touch it anyway. You wouldn't be able to pull from that anyway.
The only part of Bike Share that is funded through is the operations side, which okay. is substantially
right.
smaller than, for instance, other
okay.
types of transit.
Sorry. Okay, I got that.
And I just want to make sure to add one more thing about the streets.
Right.
If you look at the complete street of the 10-year in the CIP, you know, we've had quite a bit of talk at the commission sort of what the right level of funding is for complete streets. We are looking forward to getting additional input from you tonight. We still have some prior year balance in complete streets that we, you know, one of the benefits of capital funding for projects is that unlike operating money, at the end of the fiscal year, that money doesn't necessarily go away. Capital money it carries over, and we are able to use those funds on the for this source for which it was initially provided. Mm-hmm. So we continue to work through some prior year balance that we have on Complete Streets. We have also funded Complete Streets at $1.17 million in fiscal year 19. So partially what you're seeing this year is it's a cash flow issue.
Mm-hmm.
It's and that's why you're seeing that because the number of projects in Complete Streets was reduced. Also because initially in the budget there was a pretty significant hole proposed in the street resurfacing program. Because all that sort of conspired, that's why we said, okay, Complete Streets can because this particular project isn't going to occur, the program can take a reduction this year. And again, I want to emphasize, it's the manager's proposal. It's not the final proposal.
Well, you know, you can. It's disappointing that since FY16, you know, the Complete Streets budget's gone down almost $1 million. I mean, if you look at the big picture, then. And we just recently passed Vision Zero, and the whole purpose of that is the safety of our citizens and our visitors. And then to get $75,000 in Vision Zero, it's almost like city manager's not taking that seriously. It's disappointing because
I'm sorry, I didn't understand you saying to $75,000
for Vision Zero. In the budget.
You're saying that it was included in the Complete Streets budget and wasn't added to the budget?
Well, it's to accomplish, to hit our goals in 10 years, you know, it's almost an insult to put $75,000 in there. Now, Vision Zero encompasses a lot of things with enforcement, education, and changing the people's attitudes and things like that, but we have to make it safer is changing the design of streets, and that's structure, and that costs money. And, you know, Complete Streets and Vision Zero money together is probably all we have right now to make a better environment, to make it safer for everybody. And, you know, it's kind of a paltry sum. If you consider what we have, if you start figuring out what we have to fix the problems out there, to make it safer for everybody, it's going to cost us. And hopefully the city manager and city council will see that, you know, that they're going to have to step up if they want to meet that goal. And, you know, it's going to cost not only money, but we got to change our attitude on, you know, how are we going to get there? It's not just the money. That's a start. Okay.
Okay. So we're talking about Complete Street stuff. One of the things that I think is a challenge from the commission standpoint is that we see Complete Streets policy in terms of linking the resurfacing of streets with the completion of those streets, and that there isn't really a, the fund isn't designed to just do complete streets whenever. It's designed to fold into our normal resurfacing process. So when we look at the resurfacing budget and the $5.3 million, and I greatly appreciate that there was special effort made to keep that whole, I see the two budgets as being intertwined and sort of inseparable. And so one of the questions I have, and it's really a clarification point, is to be sure that the project list, like in the FY18 resurfacing of the streets that are prioritized, and I'm sure they're prioritized according to how, in what poor condition they're in, those seem to have some streets that are listed for enhanced facilities, bicycle or pedestrian facilities in the master plan. And so those would be the kinds of opportunities where we want to sync the complete streets effort and budget with the resurfacing effort. So I think that the concern was voiced earlier that if you resurface a street without doing the due diligence to it when it's already on our plan, then we postpone for a decade the ability to realize that part of the plan. And so I don't really, I mean, if we don't have the money to do the complete streets work we want to do, I can get that. And that would be a, basically what I would say is we don't want to resurface any streets that we are supposed to be making complete but don't have the money to make complete yet. So I would almost say I'd rather postpone those streets and not put them into this fiscal year resurfacing schedule if they are supposed to be receiving a complete streets evaluation and treatment, but we don't have the money to put toward it. The other possible solution is if you can use some resurfacing money on streets that aren't scheduled for complete streets treatment and funnel that money into making the other segments whole in terms of the analysis. And so I don't know if that's, I don't know which way the way staff would most recommend we go, but I think what we don't want to lose is that opportunity to fix something. If we postpone it a year, maybe it can be fixed and made whole the way we envision it to be next year rather than this budget year. And so it's that kind of decision that's really important.
So that is probably possible to reprioritize some of the streets, like she said.
Can you give me an example of a street that has been resurfaced that has not been? At least considered for complete streets?
I'd have to go back and look at the list. I think there's five projects designed for complete streets coming up that are resurfaced, and I'm not sure.
Oh, I think so meaning in proposed in next year's budget, in the 18 budget.
Right. And if only two of those are scheduled to have complete streets applied to them, then that means the other three are scheduled to be paved without applying the complete. I don't know the name of it. I have to go back and think about it. But, I mean, it's to me, it would make sense to kind of shift the money, as Melissa said, from the streets that don't have any complete streets requirements to the streets that could you or that are on the list, the complete streets list, to apply the complete streets project.
So perhaps, you know, if it would help the commission understand,
we did not call
that Appendix E, which shows the sort of the grouped.
We do not have that in your packet, but we did provide the link in your docket for that. But yes, there is. So essentially, it doesn't break down by street, but there's a formula that we are using to say for every. We've essentially looked at previous streets that we've resurfaced and the cost associated with complete streets with those streets.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a ratio that's developed, you know, so that for every lane mile that's paved, this is how much the contribution for complete streets should be. So we do have that table that we've, you know, provided into the CIP this year. It's the first time it's Appendix E. It's within the CIP. I think to speak to the question regarding if we can direct, instead of, can we adjust the paving list to address the complete streets projects in the right way?
It's just straight up making sure that, like, say if you've got five streets on your current, on your FY18 paving list that are in the master transportation plan as having enhanced bike facilities but don't today, it might be one of, that might be one of the ways that we would evaluate what to do in a complete streets combined repair.
Right.
But if we don't have quite enough funds in the complete streets budget to do them all, then maybe one option is to postpone one of those segments to a year when we have enough money, or the other option is to reduce the total number of repaving segments to reallocate just enough funds to do those other segments in full.
I think what we have found is we are in practice doing some of what you've described in terms of if we have a street where we know that there's going to be a long design process associated with it. So I guess I could give an example of that would be Monroe Street. When we knew that was going to be resurfaced, we knew it was going to have lengthy public outreach process with design. Mm-hmm. We did delay that resurfacing so that we could have a series of public meetings and come up with a good design. So we tend to do that. But what I would say is when we're looking at our resurfacing list upcoming, the one street that we are concerned about from a complete streets perspective is Mount Vernon Avenue, because we know that that is a large project. It's going to require some significant concrete work associated with complete streets. It doesn't have currently the budget, I wouldn't say allows us to do, you know, some of the improvements the community has asked for. So if the commission, you know, is looking for a street that is in an upcoming budget year, which I believe is it's in the fiscal 19 resurfacing list, that requires complete streets funding that we currently do not have, that is probably the street that has the most concern.
What year was that? Is that
2019? Yeah.
So. I have a comment on the Mount Vernon, and then I have some comments on this. When you guys go for Mount Vernon, whoever is in charge of it, the T&P board, we've been dealing basically every month. Something's come up with the sight lines at the intersections. So if we can feed that into the thing, that way I wouldn't have to hear the same thing four times.
I expect it has to do with the parking.
It has to do with people parking too close to the curb.
Yep.
Yeah. So
that's one of the things that we'll be looking at.
Oh, yeah. That I mean, every street on Mount Vernon, every intersection. Mm-hmm. We've had two. I think there's another one on next week's docket.
Yeah.
So two things. One is a question. What was the carryover from the complete streets over the last 2 years?
So if you look at the budget sheet, I'm just pulling it up right now here. Just give me 1 second. But I believe it's prior year dollars amounting to $9.4 million.
So
there are prior, yes. So there's significant.
Meaning that's what's been budgeted through prior year through 17.
Yeah. So that's like, not the balance.
Yeah.
Sorry, I guess what my question is.
What is the balance?
What is the balance? Like what was left over fiscal year 12? What was left over fiscal year 17?
So that is a continually changing number. Mm-hmm. It's around 1 million.
So we're talking about a $100,000 reduction in a program that has $1 million piggy bank.
That's correct, but okay. I would emphasize though that some of that funding is actually programmed for projects coming up in the next few months.
Mm-hmm.
So it won't necessarily be available at the start of the fiscal year. So we do have we have a pretty big paving schedule coming up. Cameron and Prince are both being, so even though we have that right today, might have that money in 3 or 4 months, it could be significantly reduced. So just want to make sure you understand.
But I mean, if given the current budget situation of the city, if there's a program sitting on $1 million, to me that sounds like we've been over budgeted.
I don't think that's what you said.
Yeah, no, I said that it's $1 million.
At the end of this fiscal year, you didn't carry over $1 million into this year.
There is a fair size.
Yes, there's $1 million, and we're talking about a program a tenth of the reduction of the piggy bank it's sitting on. So that's I'll leave that there. And then the Safe Routes to School has been zeroed out. Is that also, like, now in the Complete Streets program, is my understanding?
Okay. It is. It's a
line. It's just reported on there. And then I have a comment.
It's $47,000.
Yeah. It's listed on as a zero outline on this page, too.
That is because we have a... That's part of the grant. We have a Safer to School grant that's separate from the Complete Streets budget.
Okay.
It's a prior year allocation, around $250,000.
Okay, I just saw a whole bunch of zeros.
It's zero because it's
prior year.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then on the letter that the chairman drafted, I think it encapsulates most of what our positions are. I would just ask that on the bullet point concerning the patrol and traffic units, where we say help shape driver behavior, potentially making that a little clearer, whether that's reducing speeding, et cetera. Like, I think that's the big thing that we hear from residents is they want greater enforcement and on speeding issues, and time again when that comes up, the answer that we have to give residents is, well, they just don't have the manpower. So, just trying to speak greater to the concerns. I know in the past this commission and Traffic and Parking Board prioritized traffic units for enforcement of the HOV lanes. If you say just sort of shape driver behavior, that's a little vague. I think that the big issue I'm at least hearing on both boards is people's concerns about speeding.
Well, if we shape their behavior.
Yeah, I just think that
that could be seen slower, as like behavior engineering or something. Those words might not be taken too well.
Yeah.
I think we might find
it. Saying what people want.
Ensure proper behavior.
Education and enforcement components that sort of go hand in hand to make that happen. But
yeah,
it's got to start somewhere, and I think this is the way to do it.
And the enforcement is just whether it's parking, speeding, HOV lanes, enforcement is the biggest issue on this.
It's the cultural shift we need to engage in.
Yeah.
And as much as, like, I don't want to pay a ticket, sometimes that's what you need to get people to slow down.
I did have a quick comment about something. It's not about Complete Streets specifically, but it is about one of our guidance topics. It's regarding the Western Transitway. I'm not sure if the commission is aware of this. However, the property owner of a lot of the buildings and such, the land there, JBG, is liquidating that portion of their portfolio right now. I don't know if they have a buyer.
Not yet.
However, that obviously, since we've, this is supposed to be funded through developer contributions and everything else, this puts that kind of at a stalemate right now, it looks like. I don't know what's going to happen, but maybe some of that money, depending how long this all takes, could the money can be reprogrammed maybe. I mean, obviously some of it's for MBTA and stuff. Is there any city general funds going to that, if I recall?
No general funds going to that project at all.
Yeah.
It's a very good point, something that we've been keeping our eye on very, very closely. This is the announcement that JVG made is not specific to its Alexandria properties. It's part of a much broader perspective strategic planning effort that JVG is undertaking, where they are essentially divesting themselves of any non-metro accessible properties. It's part of a much larger initiative, not just Alexandria. That said, we're going to be watching this very closely. They could actually have a buyer as soon as sometime over the summer. The city's perspective on our high-capacity transit corridors has not changed. We still have three high-capacity transit corridors. The West End Transitway is still, we think, an integral piece of our economic development plan and policy, will continue to be so. And the funding formula and the funding plan that we have outlined is still the one that we plan to move forward with. One of the benefits of the West End Transitway is that it's a feasible project. Alan is working very hard with our Department of Project Implementation on the design now, and we are also finishing up NEPA, so we're really not taking our foot off the gas on the West End Transitway at all. And the reason we actually included this as an economic development highlight for you is because we feel like it's just as important to focus on that project now as it was for the JBG announcement. There are some sort of little legal intricacies that we have to work through, but the assumption is that whoever JBG sells that property to, those those entitlements are going to go with that sale, and we're going to be working with the new developer to ensure that we get the transitway built as we would have previously.
I have some other comments that are not Fleet Streets related. And then the letter, minor thing in the first paragraph, the draft of the letter that I have said, it's a letter to the mayor and city council dated October 19, 2016. And the letter that I found online is dated November 17, 2016. The letter that was emailed at around is dated November 16, 2016. So I think we should just, I suggest using the date and the copy that's available on the internet, because that's what the community might have downloaded or seen. I'm not sure why this variation there, but just make sure it's listed correctly in this current letter. I wanted to also get clarification. It sounds like we're making progress on removing WMATA from the TIF, but there's still, am I correct in understanding there's still WMATA operating funds in the TIF?
Yes.
And they didn't go up because that big $7 million balloon of operating cost wasn't borne by the TIF this year, but what our sort of standard amount has stayed.
Yes.
And is that just, I mean, sort of we're in a holding pattern?
Yes. So the, can you please go back to the WMATA capital fund? There's a huge assumption in the capital plan. Keep going. One more. There we go. So that there are three very important letters in the second line of this graph. Can anybody guess what they are? And the second, the front of that.
CBD.
Yes.
Sorry, that was another question I was going to ask because I saw that in the spreadsheet.
Yeah. So this is the assumption that we are making that we are having to make, frankly, that there is going to be a regional dedicated revenue source, whether that's a half-cent sales tax, whatever it may be, to go to WMATA. But this is an assumption that we're making that as part of what is going to be considered at the regional level, the proposal that's coming out from all the CEOs regionally is that we are going to have to all get behind some type of ongoing dedicated revenue source. Mm-hmm. Including that in this plan is essentially what allows us to begin moving money, you know, out of the TIF.
And so in the future, as the region gets more shape around this revenue source model,
this will change.
The magnitude, the nature, that then we can start looking more carefully about how much is actually going to leave the TIF.
Yes.
And,
you know, look, WMATA has a, you know, we do our CSA annually. It's supposed to be a multi-year capital funding agreement. It's supposed to be a multi-year document. We have been reduced to working as best we can on an annual basis to plug the gaps. Again, going back to that original slide about what the manager's priorities are, the city feel it's very important for us to fully fund WMATA and WMATA's ask. We think it's integral to the regional economy. You know, in our conversations with Arlington and Fairfax, essentially what we're all saying is we know the ask that WMATA is making of us next year. We are doing everything we can to make it happen for next year. But even what you see in FY19 moving forward, we all have different levels of comfort with how we are all proposing and speaking with our publics about how we're going to fund WMATA in the future.
Another bullet that's in the draft letter is referring to how we don't support the reduction of a transportation demand management position to a part-time position, a half person, I guess, is more what it's about. I presume this is because of Gabe's transition, and rather than filling, am I interpreting that? Like, rather than filling a vacancy, you're sort of switching up responsibilities for a little while to save money?
Well, I think it was, basically, you'll see that there were a couple of, throughout the budget, a couple of positions taken or reduced, this being one of them. It's a right-sizing of the program. If this was to go through, we would have to sort of look at the program and fit it within the resources that we have.
Mm-hmm.
We do have a position that we're filling right now, which is our TMP coordinator, our Transportation Management Plan coordinator, and that coordinator can really do a lot of the TDM work in conjunction with what they're going to be doing.
Right.
So we'll be hiring for someone that can do both of those things.
Okay.
But yeah, the reduction that you're seeing would cause us to look at the program a little bit differently and right size it.
Okay, and I don't particularly like that term,
yep.
whether it's applied to parking or this, but so for clarity, I also, as I understand it, we go out every year to DRPT asking for grants to support various things, but I believe there was a TDM operations grant request
mm-hmm.
and a 20% local match, am I remembering that correctly? So does this jeopardize at all our ability to either get that operations grant or to run it and like use it properly?
We will, and I'll let Alan chime in because I know he's been working on that grant, but what we will likely do, provided that this actually goes through, is we'll have to, what we would have spent on operating dollars, we would spend on an actual position, we'll have to ask DRPT if we can spend that on things that are not a position, but more like,
right.
you know, commuter incentives or other TDM activities.
Yeah, there is an allowance within the grant itself. We're actually going to do it this year as well. Whenever you don't have as many personnel costs, you are allowed to shift some of the stuff from personnel to non-personnel. What that allows us to do is beef up some of the work that we're doing now with the contractors we have out there, supporting different things. Bike to Work Day is one of the things coming out there supporting, but shifting some of that support and responsibility to the contractor support to fill in the gap for the personnel that we don't have at the city.
Okay, thank you for that clarification. I think that's all of my questions.
Okay, well, I'd like to get the letter.
I need one more clarification.
Okay, sure.
I noticed on capital improvement program that there's Seminary Howard safety improvements of $400,000. That was a grant that was awarded.
That's a
right?
grant that we have applied for. We haven't received an application yet. If we
haven't received, you
yet.
Don't even know if you got it.
I don't know.
Okay, so then my question was if Seminary Road is being repaved in 2019, could those monies be used in 2019 in conjunction with repaving?
If we received that grant,
if you do,
we would use that in conjunction with the paving.
Okay, it would be bound to 2018 if you do receive it.
What we will do with that funding is concrete work, which we want to usually do that before the asphalt resurfacing. So actually, 18 is a good time for us to do that. Before the streets resurface, we would put in the concrete improvements. Does that make sense? So the timing should work, provided that we get the money in 18. We'll be able to do the concrete work and then do the paving the next following year.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what I'd like to do is try to finalize the letter. So I'd like to go through, you know, paragraph by paragraph and see what input everybody has so we can come to a consensus on, you know, what we want this to say. This is a... not just what I wrote, but actually the staff wrote it. I revised it quite a bit, and I just need everybody's input so we're on consensus here. So the first paragraph is, you know, the change is the date of November 17th instead of October 19th. So the first bullet. Anybody have any input on that one?
No, I think it's fine. It's been consistent in our position for a while.
Yeah, that's all we can do is point that out again. But okay, we'll leave that as. And the next one is basically dealing with the complete streets that we've kind of beat around. Does anybody have any suggestions for changing the verbiage on this or making it stronger or, you know?
Well, I guess I feel like it would be nice if we could add a sentence at the end that just makes the suggestion to make sure that the repaving
and resurfacing plan, the list of what gets budgeted for that is reconciled with the master plan, the improvements that are necessary according to the pedestrian and bicycle master plan, and where necessary complete streets funds are allocated to those segments. So I
know what you're saying.
Rather than wordsmith the whole thing, if staff could do a sentence that essentially says that, so that we're basically saying, make sure these two things go together. Don't redo a street
that they're in
without,
sync.
Yeah. And
so
then,
essentially, we're saying is don't go ahead and pave a street that's on the complete streets list if you're not going to apply complete streets recommendation.
Correct. And so I don't know to what extent money could be moved around for that or not, but I feel like making sure that's clear, that reconciliation needs to be made every time, because that's the way the plan is written, and that's the way the complete streets program implements itself.
Well, I'm sure we can come up with a sentence for that. Now, do you have any
clarification? I just we're supportive of adding something. I do want to make sure the way that the complete streets policy, the way that we apply the complete streets policy, is that when we apply it to the resurfacing list, we make every effort to apply the policy to streets on the resurfacing list and to give streets consideration for complete streets improvements. But we treat each street on a case-by-case basis, which means that there are some streets that may be identified in the master plan as an enhanced bicycle corridor. For instance, I just thought of a street that was in our bike plan that we resurfaced that we didn't actually add improvements to, because in our discussions with the community and with the adjacent property owners, there were concerns, and we ultimately determined not to implement the complete streets improvements. So I think there needs to be an acknowledgement that these streets are all on a case-by-case basis, that we make every effort to actually apply the complete streets policy, but that the complete streets policy is not a shall policy, if that makes sense. There needs to be an acknowledgement that we have to make our best effort, but we have to go out in the community to have the conversation. But if we determine that there is some engineering judgment that would prevent it from occurring, or if there is significant resistance from the adjacent population, we may.
I think those are totally legit reasons to not follow through with a particular improvement that was in the plan. What I don't think is a good reason is because the money was put over here in this bucket,
right,
and we can't get to it.
Yeah,
yeah. That's what's important. So that's what we need to get to in this.
Yeah, I think that's very fair.
Maybe some language like coordinate to the maximum practicable extent or something like that.
I think that makes a lot of sense.
Well, when do you reach out to the community?
My understanding is it's when the improvement, when the resurfacing planning is going on, and then they're talking about.
Or well,
what
or in advance.
To do.
So you got five streets in this year's plan that are enhanced bike corridors, and I'm not aware of any community outreach. So when was that done? Determine that those didn't.
Let's pick up one.
Yeah.
West Braddock Road.
I think that's not public.
Oh,
sorry, that's why you didn't include public
hearing
this year.
Yeah, sorry.
Well, okay. West Braddock Road, or we could, the example of Mount Vernon. Okay. Now, it appears that the amount of money for complete streets implementation there would be quite high. So that isn't in the budget.
For Mount Vernon Avenue?
Yeah. To pave it, so that's on the list. What for 19?
It's
just
on
for
list
example.
For 19.
But to apply complete streets implementation to that first would require, the design and implementation.
Well, we're doing that now. There's actually an access to transit project that we are doing on Mount Vernon Avenue right now that'll result in fairly significant pedestrian improvements to the avenue. Bus bulb outs and pedestrian improvements. That's actually a great example of a project that is being
where we are applying principles of complete streets, but the funding to do the pedestrian improvements associated with that project is not necessarily shown completely in the complete streets budget. There are, and that's part of the reason that we developed the Appendix E, and even as the Seminary Howard project shows you that there are often other projects that, and grant funding that we will seek, and then we will then make every attempt to coordinate with planned maintenance. And that's what's happening on Mount Vernon Avenue. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so it somehow you figure out a way to try to apply that, but there's no guarantee to meet what's
well, I think what I'm hearing you all say, I think what we're trying to say is that in practice we are doing what you are asking us to do, which is to the maximum extent practicable, if that's the language that you want to use, to apply the complete streets policy to assure that we are giving every street that is slated for resurfacing an assessment, and if we can actually, you know, build the complete streets improvements into it, ensure that it gets those improvements.
But what if you can't? You know, what if you don't have the money? I mean, is what's the possibility of reshuffling?
Can you postpone a repaving?
We have. Mm-hmm. We will continue the resurfacing list that's in the budget. There's a real important sort of clarifier on the top of that list that we are always juggling utility conflicts, other capital conflicts, development projects. I mean, it oftentimes comes in where we have a street that is in very poor shape that's on the resurfacing list, and then a development comes in, and we know that they're going to be doing work on that street that is going to require utility cuts, will delay the. So that's happening all the time. Frankly, it's very challenging to explain to anybody how much change is going on in that
yeah, program. I think what you're hearing, the sentiment you're hearing, is that difficult balance between the certainty you feel when you see a list of things on a table in a budget, and the fear that we're going to miss out on opportunities if we just go by rote through this without giving them their due diligence, or without having the money set aside to give them their due diligence. So I think that's what we're trying to convey, is making sure that we're on the same page.
Sure, and I think, listen, I can't, this is something that we have heard from this commission and from other commissions around the city for a number of years. Yeah. Another thing that we've done, you know, here in the city is that we have also not fully funded sidewalk maintenance.
Right.
So we can talk as much as we want about complete streets here and about adding complete streets facilities. But the honest answer is that as a city, we have not fully funded the sidewalk maintenance required, and that we are really,
and that's also
that we need to do,
yeah,
for accessibility reasons when we are doing our street resurfacing. Is another conflict area.
That's
for us.
In and this bullet right now. It's embedded in this bullet. Should we pull it out as its own bullet because it's a different budget line item? I mean, I'm just trying to figure out what makes it clear, because
right.
I think we are all in agreement that that's a serious omission, or I don't know,
well,
a serious challenge, let's say.
Yeah, I think it's fair to say that it's a challenge. You know, one of the things that we had to do in last year's budget that we talked about is the money that's going into sidewalk capital maintenance is now alternating $300,000, $600,000 every other year. So that's not ideal for us. But that's another sign of the fact that we are making up for many, many years of deferred maintenance. In some cases, we have to make some decisions about with the limited funding that we have.
Just as a comment about the sentence, it's a four-line sentence involving sidewalks, and zeroing it out. We are concerned, it should be we are concerned, comma, however, comma. And then the last line of that sentence says, other complete street design construction that is needed, it should be than is needed. If you read the whole sentence, shouldn't it be than? But the city manager's proposed budget zeros versus sidewalk, blah, 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 provides fewer resources for sidewalks and other than is needed.
Yep, that was my change.
And then I obviously gave a pitch about funding my concern for Complete Streets being decreased by 100,000. I appreciate, James, your, you know, comment about the rollover money, but I think it should be stronger that there should be stronger language that Complete Streets funding should continue and or not be decreased, particularly since Vision Zero has now been included within Complete Streets. So I'm not quite sure. I don't know what other people think about that on the commission, but I think that given that Vision Zero is now taking a portion of the budget, that's just less money for actual Complete Streets, which includes not more than just relining streets, right? I mean, it can include bulb outs, it can include a bunch of other different bunch of things, correct? Right?
Complete Streets?
Yes, it can include all of those different things. Yeah. Include accessibility improvements, safer to school.
Yeah, so I have a thought about the Vision Zero thing, but I don't know how to, maybe it could just be an additional sentence that goes in this bullet, and that's that I think the long-term objective isn't to have a ballooning line item that is Vision Zero, that's special funding for this thing that's separate from everything else. The ideal future outcome is that Vision Zero is a way that we manage and organize all of the work that we do. And that doesn't, it's not easy to pull out. It's not something that a council member can hang their hat on and say, I stood up for Vision Zero, because it's gonna be dedicating funding to the right things throughout throughout the budget we're talking about, through other budgets that we don't deal as closely in, like the police's budget. And so maybe a sentence can be added here that basically speaks to that long-term vision. So we know they're spending this much money now and it lives in Complete Streets, but in the future, it's a bigger investment in tuning all of the work we do to reduce serious injuries and fatalities on the streets. And I don't know what that dollar value comes out of.
I'd almost say Vision Zero is the goal and it's implemented through Complete Streets.
And
as well as
safe routes
to school.
Then is it accurate that in the Vision Zero paragraph, where we appreciate that the city manager provides an initial, if modest, amount, did it? Or is that just carved out from Complete Streets?
It's carved out from Complete Streets. It's not a new, it's not a new amount.
So should that be rewritten a little bit? Provides an initial, if modest, amount from the Complete Streets budget to enable additional
maybe
steps?
Focuses an initial amount, because this, we're talking about money that's really intended to help implement, like start the implementation, right?
It is,
like
yeah.
Off after we get that plan made.
So the action plan will do what I think Commissioner McMahon mentioned. It will outline the budget necessary from different departments. So the police department, the Department of Transportation and Environmental Services. I mean, there'll be multiple departments that will need to be touched with this effort, and the action plan will really inform that, and it'll be very important, I think, for the 19 budget process, because we'll have more information at that point. Yeah. But this is this 75,000 allows us to at least get started on some of the things that are involved with TNES. It might not be wholly sufficient, but it allows us to get started, and then the other departments are going to have to also have something that they're going to put forth, likely through the 19 budget process.
Well, some of the stuff like Complete Streets is, that's, you know, Vision Zero. I mean,
it is
one of the health department's doing things now that promote safety, and same with enforcement, you know,
right.
What part of their budget is.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so maybe we can revise it to be like, this budget, we appreciate that this budget focuses a portion of the Complete Streets funding toward the implementation, the rollout implementation of this great plan we're working on. We look forward to the 19 budget process, where we'll really get to get down and dirty with everybody's budget and with how they're going to realize Vision Zero. I think you should use those words.
Yeah. That's more comfortable.
Down and dirty.
You want me to say down and dirty?
Yeah. Just
okay.
Like that.
Make sure I do that.
Yeah, that was.
Okay, so we've got the additions to bullet 2 and bullet 3.
I think we might be able to, for bullet 4, we instead of using maybe shape driver behavior, can use something improve driver behavior.
Reduce speeding.
Reduce speeding, yeah, like specifics that we were discussing. I think reducing speeding and reducing red light running. So, I mean, we can probably eliminate the end of the sentence and just say, you know, enforcement capabilities be directed towards traffic safety, reducing speeding, and red light running.
Mm-hmm. Those examples of traffic safety? So we could do, like, especially speeding and red light? And just
That's a good idea.
Oh, yeah. I see what you're saying.
And, you know, need to promote safety. I don't mind that part. Just
yeah,
put out the
safety above
mm-hmm.
it.
Oh, yeah, we do.
Directed toward traffic safety, especially
since we're
running.
Yeah,
cut
the last part.
Yeah, that's good.
That make it more concise. And
yeah.
And I think it highlights the
thing. It covers the point.
So we
aggressive
yeah.
driving.
So we could say be directed toward increased traffic safety and reduce speeding and red light run.
Or reduced aggressive driving. Like.
Yeah,
well, that.
It kind of encompasses all of it, I guess.
That's different.
Are you aggressive when you're speeding all the time, or just?
it's a form of aggression.
It is a form of
aggression.
Yeah,
it's a form of
aggression. It's a form of aggression.
With that back and forth switching, you could be doing that at 25 miles an hour.
Tailgating.
My concern is that we live in a world of these words mean something to us. The average person who lives on Duke Street, that doesn't mean anything to them. So that, if we're going to do a public document, let's be specific. We've heard this from people.
This is just guidance to the city council.
Yeah. And those are two clearly defined behaviors that you could target in an enforcement
yeah.
program.
Yeah.
Everybody
wants to explain what it means.
We can go into detail, but those are probably the, well, they have been shown to be the two big problems that cause crashes and injuries and fatalities. So we just add that and then take off the shape driver
mm-hmm.
behavior,
yep.
mode safety?
Yeah. And just remove that last bit after the dash.
And a very minor edit to the TDM bullet. Transportation demand management, strike the comma and the word which is insert the and essential and then insert and cost effective tool for strike 2, reducing single occupancy travel in the city, comma, and then strike is an essential city program, and the comma after that, and then continue on with and.
Right. Run through that again, so I got most of it, I think.
So it should read, transportation demand management is an essential and cost-effective tool for reducing single occupancy travel in the city, and therefore, the Transportation Commission does not support the reduction of a transportation demand management position to a 0.5 FTE.
Okay.
So period
like
at
that.
The end. Yes.
Punctuation 0.5.
Mic drop.
One of my clients would have
that. Where do I got all the other ones?
Have this new patent application, you're following with a period.
Okay, that takes care of all the bullets. Any thing on the last paragraph?
Mr. Chairman, I'd like the members of the commission to consider adding another bullet to this letter, and it really follows up on the issue that Carrie mentioned before with respect to the city's policy on bus purchases, hybrid versus clean diesel. There was a 2012 policy statement that the board city council considered. Using an analysis that was, I'll say, maybe questionable at best with respect to the purchase of the hybrid buses and the diesel buses. The premium on a hybrid is about 50% over the conventional clean diesel. The emissions output, the sound output, is comparable to that of clean diesel versus the use of the hybrid. And the cost-benefit analysis that was used in the City Council's decision, again back in 2012, was based on a price of diesel fuel at $5.50 per gallon, which was considerably more than it ever did raise. Not that it would never get there again, but the environment that we're living in today is much different. And the cost of the battery packs is a significant one in that it's approximately $45,000 per bus. The lead time to purchase them is challenging. You can't stockpile them. So what I would ask the commission to consider is to ask the City Council to revisit the policy that they currently have in place based on an analysis which would include not just traditional cost-benefit analysis, but also emissions and the sound output, so we have an environmental comparison as well as cost-benefit. And if it turns out that it is just as effective to have the conventional clean diesel model, the DASH operation would be essentially able to purchase 3 buses for the current 2 fiscal amount that's allocated. And it provides greater flexibility both to DASH as an operator as far as ongoing maintenance, and it also provides a greater fleet or ability to engage in fleet expansion. So I'd ask the commission to consider that as an add-on bullet for them to reconsider their policy statement based on an analysis or assessment, if we'd like to characterize
it that way. That was done in 12?
That was done in 2012.
Okay.
It was sent from the city manager to the city council, and this is the basis by which they're making the policy guidance to DASH purchase the hybrid buses, but I think it's time that be reconsidered, and at least the city could be presented with a fact-based analysis, again, on emissions output as well as cost.
So yeah. Is the council policy guidance, like it says, purchase hybrids because they're cleaner?
That's essentially what the letter says, and that's okay. The guidance that bus has.
Rather
that
than
DASH
it's saying purchase the cleanest. Yes. Vehicle.
Correct.
Mr. Chair, could I? Maybe if I could just add to this, the memo that Commissioner Pleiss is referring to was a budget memorandum that was provided in the context of the FY12 budget. So typically in the budget process, council will ask staff to answer questions for it through the budget process that we often have an over-under on how many budget memos we're going to get on an annual basis from specific council members. This was one year where we responded to this particular question, but this memo just provided funding direction in this and that one year's budget. We revisit the capital budget annually. The capital budget notes that, and actually if you look at the DASH bus replacement item in there, it notes that the city's EcoCity policy would allow us to purchase either hybrid, clean diesel, or CNG buses. Mm-hmm. I think what Commissioner Kless is asking for is makes a lot of sense, which is, the last time we looked at this as a city was in the FY 2012. Conditions have changed since then. It's time for us to take an objective look at it, given the pressures that we articulated earlier tonight that are on the bus replacement schedule.
So even though your current budget freedom allows you to buy any of those 3 vehicles,
we have bought hybrids since we have purchased hybrids
since
then.
But moving forward, you have the authority to purchase any of them, but staff hasn't been directed by council to reevaluate
Correct.
The relative cost of making one of those decisions. And so staff needs to put some time in.
Correct, because at the time of the budget memorandum, there was actually the DASH board unanimously, and I believe the Transportation Commission also unanimously provided input for part of the budget memorandum that they wanted us to purchase hybrids. So I think what we're saying is staff.
So even though it applied to that fiscal year budget, there's enough behind
there's
it
policy that set enough policy
that
yeah, and that we think that it now might make sense before we change that policy to take a fresh look at the numbers and to provide you with some objective analysis.
I would like to throw in though to not use or ask request if this is the course that's being taken, that we not use the words reconsider, that mm-hmm. that there'll be maybe evaluate
because as a resident living on a road where buses go up and down very frequently, the hybrids 100% increase our quality of life. The noise from diesels are oppressive. You can hear them coming up Seminary Hill from quite far away. It reverberates. We live right on Seminary Road, and it's an overwhelming sound that comes into our house. The hybrids, on the other hand, provide a much increased quality of life for my family, for me, and for other people living on and in the surrounding environment. So, you know, I understand two versus three buses in these times of crunch, but as a resident, in times of money crunch, but as a resident, you know, noise control is an issue as well. I mean, we hear trains, we hear planes, we hear helicopters, we hear cars. And for me, listening to hybrids has been a huge benefit. I would appreciate, you know, it being, I understand the cost analysis and money talks, but also, you know, there's more to it than just, you know.
I completely agree. And that's why I'd like to make sure that we specify that both an emissions and sound level element be added to the environmental assessment, not just the cost-benefit ratio. Really, I'll say that there's probably 32 of the original, I'll say, early 2000 Orion buses that you're talking about that the DASH operation would really like to replace. And the clean diesel sound level is, I was told, and this is why the assessment needs to take place, so that it's a quantitative assessment, or is it a quantitative analysis based on sound assessment processes, that it is comparable, i.e. clean diesel, current technology versus the hybrid, and that it can, there can be an informed decision made. But I think the dashboard and the operation, I'll add to that, is also concerned about the noise issue, so that's why I wanted to make sure that the emission and sound element be included in that assessment.
Thank you.
They're not CNG, right? They're still diesel.
There's still a diesel on a hybrid, yeah.
It's whether the engine's running at that part of the route.
And the technology has improved since the early 2000 period when those original Orions were out. And I think it's important to take another look at it.
The task tonight is to provide a budget advice letter on a budget that's going to be enacted within 60 days. Is this something that we want to tie into a specific budget item in this letter? And if so, how do we do that?
I think it's unrealistic that the assessment can be included for the 18, but if we can at least start the process now as they move forward to the 19 and on, which is the, you know.
So what do we want to say to the council in this letter? That's
a budget
the question right now.
But can we separately?
Or can
we do that? It's like a separate action item.
I would say the reason it's applicable to this is simply because we have actually taken a bus out of the budget because of the cost associated. So I think there is a tie there between the proposed budget and this. So I don't know if we can
acknowledging that we had to take a bus out of the budget this year, but we want them to go back and look at this so that we can know that we're making the right decision in future
years. Yeah, I think that would be a good way to, and we can work on the language.
Mesh it in.
Segue.
And then adding what you said about the environmental.
Yeah, to make sure those elements are included so that the proper assessment can be made, so that the right quality decision can be made going forward.
Just make sure you don't use Volkswagen's emissions testing kits.
Yeah. We will rely on the DASH operations professionals to do the right thing.
Yeah.
There's not going to be a computer program adjusting the engine level when the test is on.
Okay.
We rely on their honesty. But thank you for.
All right. Well, is that in agreement then that we can add that bullet?
I mean, I don't have the right questions. I don't have enough background on it, but just being an environmental policy commission, I would know that they would want to emphasize the emissions part and how it ties in with other plans. And I'm not sure if there's something that would be getting away from me on that I'm not putting my input there to make sure that it's still aligned with our environmental plan.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a great point. And I think what we've talked about with staff is that if it's the commission's pleasure to include something on this in this letter, we're certainly going to need to be coordinating with the EPC. Mm-hmm. This discussion will need to occur at this commission, at the dashboard, and at the EPC, so that we can make some future recommendation.
Okay.
Yeah, I think we just start off and say, due to the fact that, you know, we had to take, you know, one bus off this, it requires more emphasis on how we consider the new purchases, and we could say it's time to reapply the analysis, make sure we include all factors, environmental, you know.
Yeah, we'll take a stab at it. I think we have, and I think we will be coming to the EPC.
Okay. Yeah, we wouldn't want to feel like we're going backwards on something that they gained on.
And if the numbers don't make sense, the numbers won't make sense.
Well, I think that's what we're asking them to
at least come up.
It's got to be a quantitative assessment.
New analysis. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll just say from what I've looked at this before, from the environmental perspective, you know, buses are different than cars in that you have to look at the whole fleet. Mm-hmm. And then if you're holding off on purchases because the cost has gone up, mm-hmm. then you're retaining your oldest buses in the mm-hmm. fleet, which are much worse yes. in terms of emissions.
And that's exactly
what we're going to be faced with
the expansion dollars are decreased. We're not going to have the ability to eliminate the older, you know, say 2000 early traditional diesel buses, which I think mm-hmm. is essentially what you were referring to.
Or the ones that were retired and then came out of retirement for the King Street to Mark route, express route.
And that's exactly, I believe, what the DASH organization is looking to do, is ensure that that's not the only option available to DASH.
Okay, you're in agreement to add that bullet with the proper wording, if you want to fire something to carry and
yep.
copy me.
Yeah, I think I've taken notes. I have a good idea. Yeah.
Okay.
I think we just need a motion to...
I'll make that motion to approve the letter as amended with the added bullet point addressing the DASH replacement.
Second. And that... Okay. And then we also agreed all the other
changes.
No, all the amendments.
Yeah. As amended.
Yeah. As amended, right. Yeah. Okay.
That, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Second? Or did you second?
I think I seconded it, but we're ready for vote.
Okay. So, in consideration adding the additional bullet and all the other changes in the other bullets, a motion to accept the letter as revised.
I've already made that motion.
Yeah. Okay, second?
Yeah, D second.
All right.
Okay. So it's ready for vote.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? Okay. Carried. Well, it takes a while to get through that. Okay, now, that covers the letter. Is any other discussion on the budget that we want to cover? No? Okay. Where's my agenda? Okay, other business. We have the Alexander Public School Safe Routes to School Draft Activities and Programs Plan. Did everybody take a look at the letter that BPAC sent, considering that program? Personally, I'm quite familiar with that program, and I think it supports the transportation master plan, the chapters on pedestrian and cycling, and it, you know, helps the city meet its goals. It's outlined in the transportation plan, and I would recommend encourage a motion to endorse that plan to would end up helping them have a better chance of receiving the grant.
Can we talk about it a little bit first?
Sure.
One, is it okay to ask questions of Jim? I'm getting this right? Like, we got a request from Jim Durham
right.
to get our input, right? Let's get feedback on it because you're revising it, right? Okay.
So yeah. this is a little bit different than other grants that come before the commission, because this grant would actually go through the public school system.
Yes.
Right.
So we wouldn't be asking the commission to endorse the grant application like we would for other grants that go to the city council. Right. But Mr. Durham did want me to share this information with you, because as part of the grant application, there's a program that has to be developed, and as part of that program, one of the grant application requirements is to share that with different groups like the Transportation Commission, School Board, those types of groups.
Yep.
So I shared that with you all so that you could see it, and if you have comments on it, this would be the time to share them with Mr. Durham before he finalizes the application. So that would be what we brought before you.
Okay, so Melissa, if you have any questions to Mr. Durham.
Yeah, so I want to ask some questions and maybe make some suggestions. One of the things that I noted overall was that it's pretty clear that this is really focused on education, outreach, behavior stuff. It doesn't have an infrastructure component that I can tell. Is that, am I interpreting
right,
that correctly?
My name is Jim Durham, chair of the Budget and Investment Advisory Committee. Thanks for the opportunity to speak. The answer to the question is that this is a Virginia Department of Transportation Safe Routes to School non-infrastructure grant. So Carrie mentioned earlier the types of grants that the city staff has applied for are infrastructure grants. This is not allowed to be used for infrastructure, so it's all education and encouragement and enforcement.
Great.
And evaluation.
Terrific. Okay. I thought there was a lot of terrific information in this document. What I did when I was looking through it was think about what would make it useful. And I don't know if this is useful to you and like the steps you need to get this grant, but the suggestions I have relate to organization of the document so that it can be used by the schools individually, so that it can be, I don't know, filtered efficiently by any staff at APS who are working on executing the task and can be tracked and that sort of thing. I found it a little hard to navigate, and what I really wanted was a summary table up front of the key performance statistics and future targets of all the schools. So there are, remind me, how many schools are in this?
Seven,
thank you. So there's seven schools. And the way this report is currently set up is there's a sort of what's going on now in each of the schools, and there's mm-hmm. they go one after another, and then there's a what are the issues, and then for each of the schools in the issues section one after another, and then there's the recommendations on how to address those issues for each of the schools one after another, and it sounds like you want to say and so I feel like. One, if you could group those together by school, that would make it easier to pull a school section and allow someone to read the whole story of what's going on at a school. And that's just a simple reorg of the pieces, just folding. So it shouldn't take a lot of time.
We did debate that issue, so I understand exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
From an execution standpoint, and you would think from a reviewer standpoint, putting all of Lyle's Crouch stuff, Section 3, which is the existing condition, Section 4, problem statement, and Section 5, solutions together, makes sense. Thank
right,
you.
And so yeah. So that's like generally the pieces, but then to complement that, having the key stats up front where you know like the schools are performing at this level for, let's say it's the mode split or whatever those key issues are that you want to highlight, and then it can be you can easily see what their targets are, like what's the future goals the school plan is aiming for, and where are they all. And that gives you that broad brushstroke across all the schools. So when you look at it at a glance, you can see one school's really, I think Samuel Tucker maybe, has like a super low
6%
share. And so you can see that without having to read a lot of detail and be like, oh, what's going on at that school? And then someone might dive into the section on that school to read what's going on. So that was really, I mean, it's great material.
Yeah, well, the characteristics, there's a wide variation in performance. Charles Bear is the highest performing walking school.
Yep.
Tucker's at the other end. And we pick schools. VDOT looks for established programs to build on. As a part of our message is that we've got some schools where we transfer lessons learned from one to another, which we don't have written in there, but we need to pick up that. I shared this with you all, if I could just have 1 minute, shared this with you all.
Go ahead.
Last year, when you debated and commented on the transportation master plan chapter update with the bike and ped stuff. There's a lot of discussion amongst this body on education, and I'm pretty excited that, you know, after a year of work in various aspects, this is just one piece. But if we're successful in getting this grant, we'll have biking and walking education and encouragement and additional enforcement. We've got great support from the police department to do some additional things next year at 7 schools. The idea is we make this work next year, then we can get the rest of the schools the following year. So thank you for those of you who had a chance to read it and provide comments. And we'll be finalizing this document next week. So if you have comments over the next few days, you know, to understand the context, happy to have those comments. Thank you.
Any other questions?
No, I would just echo that I agree with that layout. I had a similar. I think of them as case studies, almost each individual plan. So I like that structure idea when I look at it.
I did also notice that in the recommendation sections, sometimes there were similar recommendations from school to school, but they weren't worded quite the same way. And putting that the wording aside, a useful final table or list or something would just be what are key overarching recommendations that you already can see from the analysis you're going to carry.
I'll take that comment. One of the reasons for the differences is we have met with 7 principals, we've met with parents and teachers from 7 different schools, and when we asked for feedback on why we did not win this, by the way, 2 years ago, we were told it looked like it was a template that we'd stamped out for 6 schools. Mm-hmm. And so where different schools and different PTA members gave us different language, we kept that difference to demonstrate these are individually developed programs, just so you know.
No, that's
but
great.
Your comment is, on the summary table, you want to...
Yeah, in that same way that you're talking about how you're going to work with these, and you're going to take lessons learned and carry it through. To the extent that you could say, you know, based on this analysis, we really did see these themes emerge, that we're going to focus on those themes as we develop good programs.
Thanks.
Yeah.
And if I may ask a comment, so from the commission, do you need some sort of guidance or some sort of comments from the commission or approval of the work, or is there...
As Gary indicated, the Transportation Commission is not obligated to give council or staff an endorsement per se. It will, but as Chair indicated, we think it will help our credibility to say that the Transportation Commission of the City of Alexandria endorses this plan as consistent with the city's transportation master plan.
Is that something we can do?
And I look to Gary and Jan, are you okay with the Transportation Commission providing ACPS a letter that says this plan is consistent with goals of the transportation master plan?
I don't see any issue with that. The only thing I was outlining at the beginning was just that when there's a funding related grant that comes before the commission, that needs to be, we bring those to you when they're actually considered by council. In this case, it's going to be considered by the school board, so that's why we're not bringing it as a formal agenda item. If you want to endorse I don't see any issue with endorsing the plan. It's just that you wouldn't be endorsing the allocation of funds. It's not what you would be endorsing.
That's understood.
This is not an allocation of funds discussion.
This is plan.
What plans ACPS plans to do.
Right, and we're basically saying through an endorsement we can say we've reviewed this, we think it's totally consistent with Alexandria's multimodal transportation planning processes and our desire to partner with the school system to help create a great walking community or
That sounds good.
Someone get that?
Is that recorded?
It's definitely recorded.
Okay, can we make a motion that we use the words that Melissa just exposed there?
I'll make that motion in endorsing Liz's words.
I'll second.
Second? That's good. Okay. All in favor of the endorsement?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay. I guess draft something up and
I'll
to ACPS and
yes.
Go from there. Mm-hmm. Should be simple. Okay, hopefully that'll help this time. Okay. The only other thing I had is again at the end of the month there is the Vision Zero Summit. that WAVA's sponsoring. So just a reminder if anybody's interested. I'm attending. Jan's attending.
I will be there.
Well, Curry's going too. Okay. Good. Okay. All right. Good. All right. Any other business?
As part of the hybrid versus clean diesel bus analysis, would it make sense to also include looking at fully electric buses? Because from what I've seen, it's starting to get pretty compelling. Because if you go to a full electric, you take out all the complexity that you would add from a clean diesel to go to the hybrid, and then you know, you basically electrify all the systems, so you cut down on maintenance costs, and then of course you save fuel over the full life cycle of the vehicle. And I've always thought like the King Street trolley is sort of a perfect route because it doesn't go very far and has sort of layovers on both ends, so it can top up on both ends.
Well outside my lane, no pun intended here, but I believe the challenge with full electric in a city operating environment is the quality and longevity of the cell.
That's certainly
worth considering, yeah. But I believe that was covered by the maintenance director, and I think they're not quite there yet. Some cities, their operations have robustly adopted CNG, although that requires a huge infrastructure improvement, which again, significant capital expense. But depending upon the size of the fleet and the extent to which it operates, that also has a lot of benefits that the hybrid buses have. But I think it's the cell itself, the battery cell, the longevity of that is not quite developed to the point where it could be used as a, say, a substitute for the traditional either hybrid or the clean diesel.
Yeah, keep in mind,
it will be, and yeah. I'll say maybe 10 years it'll be the standard, but I think right now I don't believe the technology is there to allow that to happen.
Are they lithium-ion battery cells on those buses?
I believe it is, and they're also experimenting with other types of
And keep in mind, you get 300 to 500 recharge cycles out of one of those sets of batteries, so if you charge it, so you charge it twice a day, it's done half a year. Yeah.
And that's part of the problem they have with the current battery packs in the buses currently. It has roughly a 6-year life, and with a $42,000 expense to replace it. And if for some reason there's a failure, the bus is out of service until the new battery pack arrives 2 months later, as opposed to diesel technology that allows for essentially a 24-hour turnaround with a fairly routine diesel failure, along with whatever training requires. And again, you're talking about a huge shift in technology change. But in the future, that might be something that is very, very desirable from a cost standpoint as well as for a performance standpoint.
Maybe even part of the policy should be to consider, like to put in a timeline of how often they should be reconsidering or going back to have evaluation.
That's a very healthy thing to do.
Based on the technology, I don't know what that number should be.
Maybe every 3 to 5 years, the DASH staff would be, can work on something and revise it as necessary. It should be dynamic because technology is changing very rapidly.
I'm sure that would happen too if suddenly they came up with a solution.
The industry is very good about sharing the improvements in technology, so I suspect if they have that flexibility, they'll certainly try to take advantage of that. But if they have, if the city provides them with that flexibility, I think they'll be providing many more options, which I think is really what the DASH staff is looking for here.
Okay.
Good point, though.
All right. Any other business? Okay. Last motion?
I think I did last.
See, before I even get it out. Is there a second?
Yes.
All right. All in favor?
All right.
You got to give me one. I already carried two today, right?
Although Bowen didn't have very good luck on the lithium.
Bowen.
Sure.
Several
fires on there.
I worked on this
term. Did you?
Yeah, I worked for
It's
like
good.
I kept borrowing your pen, and then you just left.
Yeah, that pen's funny.
But it's still yours.
Yeah, that's still mine. Yeah.
I'm always rolling.
It's kind of a, difficult to predict whether the app runs or not.
Oh, please.
Yeah, for a hybrid, because if the battery's depleted, you know, from the AC unit or the heater or something like that, then it, you know, it'll kick on the engine to start charging. So, and then it's like, when does it last from the jet from the I don't know. It might be a smaller engine as well.
Prioritize the
Yeah.